Welcome to the Whitetail Obsession Podcast with Dave Richmond and co-host Chris Worthing, where we talk and teach everything deer and turkey hunting related. Follow along as we help teach you tips and techniques about hunting, food plots, and habitat management strategies that everyone can use.
Chris, why don't you explain to the audience for Podcast 74 what we've had to endure
to get
this going on 2 days of trying.
Yesterday, my computer crashed on me, had to reboot the stupid thing, and it still wouldn't work. So Dave said, let's just do it tomorrow. Well, I come home from work, and it said I need to restart the computer. It took 2 hours to reboot again. Now Dave's over there punching buttons, trying to hit record, and who knew that StreamYard could tell you that they're busy. Try back in 30 minutes.
Yeah, we've recorded 74 of these podcasts, and I hit record, and it goes right away. And this one says, StreamYard has experienced high traffic, and you're unable to record. Please try again 30 to 60 minutes later.
Just my
crazy
luck.
Podcast just 74 has been a nightmare.
Oh,
so you know what else is a nightmare?
Your anchor.
You killing us. You trying to kill us in the canoe.
You tried to drown us.
Yeah. So,
good thing on this have podcast, a camera that day.
Yep. On this podcast, everybody listening, we're taking a break from hunting talk, and we're actually going to talk fishing. It may not be what people signed up or, you know, want to listen to on this podcast, but it's just something different. And I'm sure most people that hunt probably fish too, right? Mm-hmm. So we're just going to talk about our trip, what kind of baits we used, lures and stuff, and where we fished, what we fished out of, and we'll tell you a near-death experience that Chris created.
I created it.
Yeah, you created it.
I told you not to.
I know.
I'm going to kill you.
All right, so you live 4 hours away. So last Friday, I packed up and packed a canoe and had to get permits for PA because PA is weird and
dumb.
Had to get these permits to use the canoe in the lakes up there in PA. So I drove up to Chris's house, got there, I don't know, Friday sometime. And then Saturday morning, we got up super early and we drove, about 40 minutes?
Yeah, about 40.
And what was the lake? What was it called?
Kale.
Kale.
K-A-I-L-E
or something?
No, K-A-H-L-E. Kale.
Gotcha. And
it's over Clarion Venango County.
All right. And the lake was 251 acres.
Yeah, it splits both counties.
And that morning was super foggy.
Mm-hmm.
Really yeah. foggy. So we have never been to this lake before.
Yeah, we paddle out.
We paddle out. We can't see 10 feet in front of us.
Can't see nothing.
And it was still dark, kind of. And we had no clue where we're going. And we just kind of paddled out there 50 yards, 100 yards or something.
Drifted around.
We're throwing lures out. Well, like the first or second cast.
I think it was the second cast.
You hooked something.
I snagged something right away.
But it got off.
It did.
And then I'm casting with a topwater popper. And all of a sudden, bam, caught a first bass. And I was like, man, this is going to be a good day.
We're thinking, how great is this going to be?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it turned into about two, 3 hours of nothing.
Off the cliff from there.
Yeah. Fog lifted. We paddled and canoed the edges. And we started drifting around the side, went up to the dam, and then came back around. And then we came all the way to the other side. And you were like, screw it. I'm putting a bobber on.
Put a bobber with some bait under it, some power bait.
What was that about?
I don't know. It kicked us off.
Holy smokes. What is going on?
It kicked us off.
All right. So
let's get this in before it goes off again.
You put a bobber on and started catching sunnies.
Yeah. Yes. Pan fishing. Some of those were pretty beefy.
Yeah, they were. And then I think I caught a couple more bass, and you kept catching the sunnies, and then you end up catching some bass. We knew we had a window with the rain, so We saw it coming around 11 or so. So we kind of started paddling back toward the truck. And that was pretty much that lake or that trip. But we packed up and went back to your house. And actually, no, we went to Farmer's Inn, didn't we?
Yeah, we went to eat.
Yeah, we went to eat and then came back. And then we looked at the radar because we weren't done fishing yet. We wanted to do more. So Chris was like, hey, why don't we go down to, what was it, Clarion River?
Yeah, down to the Clarion River.
Okay, so we drove down there. We had a window from like 4 to 7 or 5 to 7 or something.
We had like a two-hour gap.
Yeah. There. We went down there and we had to take two cars. So then we parked your car first at the end.
Yeah.
And then drove back with the canoe and everything. And we ended up putting in.
Yep.
And this was, I don't know, Clarion River's probably, I don't know, several spots was what, 4 or 5 feet deep or so.
Yeah. I mean, very rarely you get over your head. There is a few spots, you know, people have actually drowned there, but I mean, there is a couple holes you can find, but the majority of it, you know, there's rocks sticking up everywhere, you know.
Had a little bit of rapids, not much.
Yeah. Some rapids here and there.
Yeah.
A little riprap.
Yep. So we got in there and we started fishing, didn't catch nothing. And then I'm used to fishing the Potomac River down in Harper's Ferry. And I'm not an expert fisherman, canoeer, or whatever you want to call it. But I fish the Potomac. So when I go by myself, you can't really troll the Potomac River because it's just too fast. So I have an anchor with me. And I'll throw the anchor out and it catches a rock underneath or whatever. And I'll sit there and fish for, you know, 20 minutes or something. And then I'll just pull the anchor back up. I'll go downstream 50 yards, throw it back out. Well, that was my mindset going in here. I was like, oh, well, let's just throw the anchor out. Well, we ended up in this fast flowing water. It was pretty fast.
Yeah.
And I threw the anchor out and it hooked us. It jerked. It caught. Well, we sat there and fished for, you know, a couple minutes and we were like, all right, let's move. No, I was pulling and pulling the anchor. Chris, I was yelling to him the back paddle. He's tapped out. He's tired.
I couldn't do it.
I'm pulling and pulling and pulling. And the canoe's tilting. We're taking in water. My ass got soaked on the water's coming in the canoe. We're like going sideways, going back and forth. I'm telling him to lean to the side so I can pull the anchor back. Finally, I said, "Give me a knife," or he's like, "Cut it."
I'm like, "Cut that freaking thing, or we're gonna swim out of here. We're gonna lose all our gear, our phones, and we're gonna swim." I said, "Yep. Ain't worth it. Cut the rope. I'll get that sucker in the summer."
He made me cut my anchor, and I lost my anchor. But we kept going, and then we got into some fish.
We got into some fish, yeah.
That was better than fishing the lake.
Yeah, I mean, you did well in the river. I don't know
why.
You did a lot better in the river than you did the lake.
Yes.
I caught a bunch at the lake and fewer at the river. I didn't understand that, but that's the way it went.
Yeah. I started hammering the bass at the river, and then you started catching them later on.
Yeah.
And then toward the end, I kept getting hits on, but I couldn't get them. It was a really back and forth kind of day.
Yeah.
Well, overall it was fun.
But Dave, we're cruising through these one rapids, and as the rapids deplete, we start into some calmer weather. He pitches one off to the left and he hits one. He's like, oh, I got one. He's like, whoa, this feels like a good one. And he's dragging it in. I'm like, what is that? Because I seen this big flash. What the heck is that thing? He pulls it in. This is epic. The guy catches not one, but two bass on the same topwater popper. And the guy's using a popper in 49 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get it.
The two fish, the popper has two sets of hooks on it.
Two sets of hooks.
And each fish.
He's got a fish on.
bit a hook and I caught two fish. And I never, that never happened. So at work, I showed like Danny, I was telling you about that fishes a lot. I showed him the other day, and he's like, dude, I've been fishing my whole life and that's never happened. So that's it was pretty funny.
That is funny.
But why don't we say some of the and we, you know, I'm open to suggestions too if anybody's listening into fishing. Like, I just kind of got back into fishing myself. I didn't fish for 15 years. I just got back into it like last year. So, and I've always been top water fan, you know, poppers, hula poppers, things like that. And I'm just now getting into different stuff, you know, talking to Danny and stuff. He's got me using, I'm rigging up Texas rig this weekend. Mm-hmm. I got hooks and all that to do Texas rig. And I got these other baits. I can't remember. They might be jerk baits. And then I got I can't remember the other ones. There you go. There's a double fish.
There's Dave. There's a picture. For those listening, I'm showing a picture on the video side of the podcast of Dave holding up his catch.
Yeah. Well, you released the video on YouTube, so you can watch that video.
Yeah, everybody can watch a video. But the river fishing wasn't on it, just the lake fishing.
Yes, yes. But it was still fun.
Yeah, good time.
Yeah, I've always been a topwater fan. I mean, I've always had luck with catching bass on topwater in the calmer areas. Like I said, Danny hooked me up with the Texas rig. I'm going to use that this weekend. I'm going fishing again. So we'll see what
happens. That's weedless. That's weedless too.
And that, yes, because my problem was when I fish Harper's Ferry is the water's so fast. Mm-hmm. Because I was just using a regular jig with a worm. Mm-hmm. When I throw that thing out, I was constantly getting snagged and having to cut my line.
Yeah.
So the Texas rig will prevent it from getting snagged. That's going to be my key when I fish, I guess, flowing water, such as Harper's Ferry.
Have you put in a little bullet weight?
Yeah, so the ones that he had me get already has the weight on it.
Okay.
So it's the weight and the hook.
Okay.
And he showed me how to, you know, put the worm on it and all that stuff.
Nice.
So I'm going to try that this weekend. And then I bought these other baits, lures. It's top water, but on the back of it, it's got two blades on it. Oh. So when I reel it in, the blades, it's like a torpedo.
Yeah. I think that's what it's called. Too.
It might be. But when I went fishing the other day at Loch Raven, that I was using this thing, I was throwing it out. Uh-huh. I think it's supposed to imitate like an injured bird or something. So I threw it out, and this thing crossed the top of the water, and I tore the bass up.
Huh.
So, I'm excited to do that this weekend. But what were you were using what?
I'm a Rapala guy.
Rapala.
Yeah, I like Rapalas. I like them all. Mm-hmm. Floaters, mid-level, sinkers, all that stuff. I usually use floaters, though, because, like I said, the Clarion's pretty shallow here. Most places around here are shallow. But I will use that for any fish, literally. And I'm fortunate enough here with the Clarion, it's clean enough that it has trout and bass in it. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool.
And now you did catch a trout when we went on.
Yeah, there. I caught a trout that day out of the boat. Yep, on the river. Now the other night I went out, just rock hopping down there, no boat, just stopped my waders. I caught a nice trout down there too. Mm-hmm. But funny story, I went to my cousin's one year, and he lives down in Mount Union area, and his father-in-law. We was going to be down there for the opening day of trout. So he told me to bring my fishing gear. And I had my rod rigged up and it had a Rapala on it. The little black and silver one that I was using that day, same thing. And we got out of the truck and I didn't re-rig it or anything. I still had the Rapala hanging on the rod and I got out and I never met his father-in-law or his brother-in-law before. And like I said, we got out of the truck and they was messing with me. They was like, dude, are you fishing for a trout? Or what'd they say? Shark. They said, are you fishing for shark with that huge thing? Because they were using like salted minis and little maggots and mealworms and, you know, little fresh baits. And I was like, no, this is what I use back home, and I freaking slay them. They're like, oh, yeah, right. Oh, and they got this good chuckle out of it, you know, and they were just stroking me hard. And my cousin was like, don't worry about it. Let's go. So, you know, 8 o'clock comes, we go fishing. This place was stocked to the gills. I never seen a creek that was stocked so heavy. I mean, you could snag them. That's how thick they were laying in there. But within 11 minutes, limited out. I was done. First one done. And I told my cousin, I said, I guarantee you them guys are headed to Walmart and they're buying Rapalas. Because I cut it off of my line, told my cousin to tie it on. Within 5 minutes, he was done. We were out of there. We didn't even last a half hour. We were done. Both limited out going home. We was, bye, guys. Have fun catching sharks. And I was messing with them back. Mm-hmm. Ever since then, they were nice to me after that.
Yeah, I bet.
They were like, I can't believe that guy limited out in 11 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. I think I have a couple of Rapalas. I think, yeah.
Well, kind of like me with you and your popper.
Yeah, that's kind of...
Mentally, I didn't say nothing to you, but I was thinking, this dude's nuts. He ain't going to catch nothing on a freaking popper. It's 49 degrees out, overcast and raining. This dude is not going to catch nothing.
Yep.
And I was pleasantly surprised that Dave caught some fish.
Yep. That's always been... I remember when I was a kid, my dad worked at the hospital, and he was friends with this guy that owned a filter company that created like HEPA filters and stuff. Well, he was really into fishing, and he back then he got us hooked on hula poppers, and he was showing us how to use it, and you know, and everything. And ever since then, that was always my go-to was a hula popper. I've always had luck with it, and cold, you know, cold, warm, shallow, deep, doesn't matter. And where I caught that one bass, the first bass when we got into the lake,
shit.
I mean, that water was like 20, 30 feet deep right there. Yeah. And I caught it, you know?
Yeah, that was totally dumbfounded me.
Mm-hmm.
Open water. We couldn't see a thing.
No.
Obviously, the fish were listening. They heard that bloop, bloop, bloop.
Yep. Could not see a thing. That was spooky.
Yeah, it was.
Turkeys gobbling.
Yeah, there was turkeys gobbling on the banks. There was like farmland all around this lake. And the thing is, they're going to drain this sucker.
Mm-hmm.
They're draining that thing, and right now they lifted all the creel limits and size limits and everything. They want people to come catch the fish and take them out of there, so that it's less work that they have to do to get this thing drained.
Yep.
So when we was leaving, we seen a horse. There's a freaking horse tied up to the bank. And I was like, oh my Lord, the Amish.
Yeah. I think you were like, there's a horse in the woods.
Yeah. The freaking Amish. They come in. Obviously they had a canoe tied up there too. Remember we seen all those canoes that were all chained up there on the shoreline.
Yeah.
Obviously they had a canoe there, unless they had it strapped to the top of the buggy.
Yep. That surprised me. All the canoes that were chained to that
people just leave them.
Yeah. That was surprising.
It was a cable. It was a big long, like a, almost like a fence, like a fence cable or something.
Yeah. That was very surprising.
Yeah, I wouldn't like to leave my canoe. I don't.
Yeah. I'm be into that. I'm curious where we put in at and took out at on the Clarion River, how far that exactly is.
Oh.
I think it had to be at least 2 miles.
Oh, it's over two. Yeah.
Over two. All right.
Yeah.
Because when I do my Harper's Ferry trip, it's like 6 miles.
Yeah. Yeah, that was. Because remember when we turned left on the bridge, we went across Belltown Bridge, and it said 1.3 miles to the hatchery. the Trump hatchery there. So that was just 1.3 to the bridge, and it's further from the bridge down to the takeout spot. So So it's at least 2.5-3 miles. You know,
that was a cool trip. I'd like to do that one again.
Yeah, it's a nice trip, especially in the summertime when the water's a little lower, and you can get into those. You know, the water's not moving so fast, and you can actually slow down and get into those pockets and fish them out a little better.
Yeah, I like fishing that more than the lake.
Yeah, it was. I love that stretch. In my early 20s and 30s, me and my buddy Brian, we used to almost every Saturday morning. We both had a truck, so one would park at the end, one would take the canoe up top and dump in. In 2 hours you're done, and we had a bunch of fish to show for it.
Yeah, and of course, when we went toward the end, we got soaked. It started raining.
Yeah, it started raining. We got kill out just a hair late.
Kill you for that.
So now, Dave's anchorless. And when the water recedes to the summertime levels, you could dang near walk across the river in certain spots.
You're going to get my anchor for me.
I'm going to try to find that anchor because there's 20 feet of rope hooked to it. Mm-hmm. I ought to be able to spot that. And it was like a neon rope too, wasn't it? If I remember.
Yeah, it was like
a yellowish or neon.
Yeah, it was yellow. Then it had like purple strands in it. Like, so
okay,
you should be able to see.
So
it.
Like I should be able to see that even from up the road. I could probably look down and probably see that rope flowing in the water.
Should be able to. Yeah.
And so what I'll do is I'll walk out there. If it's too deep for the waders, I'll just go swimming one night.
Mm-hmm.
Because that water, like I said, it's not real deep, so it'll get warm.
Yeah. Yeah, you should be able to see it. If not, ain't a big deal.
Well, someone else might spot it before me. Who knows?
Very true.
Free.
Free anchor.
Yep.
But briefly, my trip this weekend, we're fishing a reservoir in Baltimore County, Lock Raven Reservoir. There, you cannot bring your own boat. You have to rent a boat.
Is that because of the sea urchins and barnacles and all that stuff?
Barnacles. They don't want it brought in because that is where Baltimore County gets their water supply from, drinking water supply.
Don't spit in the water, Dave. Right.
Don't spit or pee in the water.
Yeah.
So they don't want that contaminated. So there's a rental place there. And as long as I've lived here, almost 40 years, I've never fished Lock Raven. I fished off the bank a few times. Me and my dad used to jig off the Lock Raven Bridge, but never got a boat. And this place has been there forever, but never rented a boat and fished it. So my buddy Danny drew me a map the other day of all the coves and stuff to fish because he fishes it all the time. So he told me exactly where to go. Mm-hmm. But it's cheap. You get a John boat with electric motor. It comes with two batteries. And then if you want like an extra battery, it's like an extra $6. So we're going to fish that this weekend. And it's 2,400 acres. So I plan on being out there for a while. And in that lake, there's bluegill, perch, smallmouth, largemouth. You ever heard of a chain pickerel?
Yeah, it's a pike.
Okay, so they got them in there. Danny said, don't stick your finger in their mouth. They got teeth.
Yeah.
Never caught one.
Don't lip a walleye, a pike, or a muskie.
Yeah. crappy. So there's a wide range of fish in there. But the deepest part of that reservoir is it's pretty deep.
You're going to catch a snakehead.
There is snakeheads in there.
Yeah.
I've seen people.
You're supposed to kill them things.
Right. I've seen people catch them in there. So that's going to be our trip. And they only have 74 boats to rent.
Mm-hmm.
And they open at 6 a.m. So the guy told us that if it's nice weather, you could pull up to the gate at 5 a.m. and there might be a line of cars.
Oh.
So we're going to get there early and just have to wait till 6 to make sure that we get a rental.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to get there at 6 and then not be able to get a boat. I'll be
number 75.
Yeah, I'll be highly upset. So that'll be fun. That'll be an experience there, fishing that, and then and see what happens.
I'm gonna turkey hunt.
You're turkey hunting Saturday.
Yeah, rain or shine, I'm gonna go.
Now Saturday, you should be able to hunt all day.
That's true. I think it does start.
You can hunt the afternoon.
If it didn't already, I'm not so turned on about turkey no more. If it happens, it happens. Whatever.
I'm more into fishing now this year. Yeah. I'm tuned up for fishing.
Yeah, I mean, I go in spurts, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever's in at the time, I guess, you know. If I go opening day at turkey, and then usually if I get one, I'm done. If not, I go maybe once or twice more after that, and I don't get too excited about it. And then, you know, being that the fishing season's in, the water's starting to warm up, and the action's heating, you know, that's the main thing around here. That river, obviously, because it has trout in it, is spring fed, and it's the water's really cold. So what is really neat is in the summertime, when the water does warm up, all those trout find their way into one of those feeder streams, into the mouth, like where we took out the canoe.
Mm.
Just where we took out, if you just would have went down, and there's a mouth of a creek right there. Fabulous summertime fishing once the water heats up and they run up into that creek there, into that cold mountain stream. They literally get stacked up in there. And I start going every night then, when it's the heat, you know, around July 4th time, and it's really hot out, you know, I fish every night down there. I find one of those feeder streams. I know of like two or three of them in the area, and they get all stacked up. It's fun.
And it's like
it's like fishing in a barrel, you know, but it's a good time.
You're catching all rainbow?
No, actually, they stock a lot of brookies around here.
Brooks.
Yeah. Brook trout out that way. And in town, they do some rainbows and browns.
So. Yeah, I got Big Gunpowder Falls near me and Little Falls, and they stock them, I think, starting in like early March, they'll stock them with rainbows. But the fishing there, I've tried to fish there so many. It sucks. The water level is always so low. You're fishing in like a foot of water. It's just,
I tried down at remember that place I took you down by the big bridge in Cooksburg?
Where we parked across the street and had to come across.
Yes, we parked at the welcoming center and walked across the street, and we went we went down the river actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, but the water was supposedly high, but it's the same way down there. The rocks, it's huge rocks under the water, and there's just deep crevices between them. But you could literally like hawk rock. You could rock hop out onto that in the summertime. You can get way out there, you know, and get in.
What river is that?
That's the Clarion there also.
Oh, that's Clarion too.
Yeah, actually, it's downstream from where we took out.
Mm.
If we would have just kept canoeing another 9 miles, we would have ended up at that bridge.
Gotcha.
Yep.
All right. Well.
Good stretch of water. A lot of people fish it. I love going down during the week, though, because all the yahoos aren't around, all the campers. So.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. See what happens this weekend. I'll give an update on the Loch Raven Reservoir trip and go from there.
Hopefully I got a bird.
Yeah, hopefully you get a bird, and hopefully I get some chain pickerel.
Chain pickerel.
Same pike thing.
Are very aggressive.
Chain pickerel and pike, same thing.
Basically, yep. Kind of like walleye and sauger. Yeah. They're cousins.
All right.
All right. Well,
hopefully I catch one. So.
Okay, well, that's our fishing episode 70.
Yeah. Anybody has any suggestions, maybe some lakes or something in PA to fish, or some rigs, lure, whatever you have, let us know. Curious.
I'm a jigging guy too.
I like jigging.
I like white and yellow. Mr. Twister Tails.
Mm-hmm.
Yellow, it depends on what. If I don't get them on white, I switch to yellow and then sometimes orange.
There you go.
Alrighty, dudes.
Podcast 74.
We out.